At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thanks for reading, Amber. Please keep your Bible open there, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. In line with something that Jesus says here, Jesus says that these things about him are hidden from the wise. That is, those who think they are wise, who are proud, and they are revealed to humble people, to little children. It's great to have some children with us to remind us that we need to be like you guys when we come to Jesus and the like. So let me pray with those things in mind. God, our Father, we pray against pride this evening. Forgive us for thinking that we know when we don't know. And lead us to be humbly dependent, like children who will so easily admit that they need help, they can't do things themselves, that they don't know, they need someone to tell them. And Lord, that's us spiritually. We come and we say, Lord Jesus, please speak to us through your word and help us to understand, reveal truth to us. For we do choose to come this evening as children, rather than those who think we're wise in our own eyes. And we ask it in your name. Amen. We, through October, are just refreshing our thinking and our hearts around our new values as a church family. So if you're first time with us, or you're thinking about joining us, then it's very relevant for you. And for us all, there's just one picture tonight, one visual aid coming up on the screen. That's all there is in terms of the PowerPoints and the like that we're going to be having this evening. And most of the things I'm going to say just come from those that drawing and the Bible verse that is on the scripture there. So it looks like any minute I'll be joined by Lavinia and Michael. So we are a church, okay? In one sense, that is absolutely plain and obvious. Basically, being a church means being a spiritual family. A spiritual family. The Bible talks about churches being literally the household of God, that is, the family of God. We as a church are a people who worship Jesus Christ and seek to witness for him in the world around us. We worship Jesus and we are committed to one another as brothers and sisters in God's family. And our mission, our main mission as a church, is, like I say, to worship Jesus, but to witness, to take the good news of Jesus to people around the world, but mainly here in Sheffield, because that's where we are, who don't yet know him. As it says on our building, as it says on the screen there, to be a church for people who don't go to church. And now that phrase is something that I said in a moment of spontaneity when someone asked me something, said some things to me, was showing me some drawings, and I responded. And that person that I said those to wrote it down and said, right, that's interesting. The situation was this. There's a guy called John. He was 26, had nothing to do with church whatsoever, and through various connections, this guy, John, was designing our logo for us. If you take a closer look at our logo, it is not a white snowflake. Look at the blue and you'll see it's people. People gathered. That's what church is. But initially, he showed me a whole load of various logos with a few others in this boardroom. And they were boring. They were remarkably religious. And there was this moment I said, John, they're too religious. We want to be a church for people who don't go to church. That's where it came out. And he said, what, like me? And I said, yeah, like you, John. And so we went away and he came up with this logo instead. And he said, by the way, you came up with your own slogan, a church. Well, he said the church for people who don't go to church. And I said, that's great. Cross out the, say A, because every church should be a church for people who don't go to church. So that's where that goes. And it simply means this, that we try to do things in a Bible-based, gospel-hearted, accessible, understandable, relevant, and welcoming ways. Sometimes we have Christians who come along, and if you go on Google Review and look at the reviews of people who've been to our church, some people, I'm sure, would think that they, you know, might come to this church, and because it says it's a church for people who don't go to church, well, kind of think, well, they're a church, you won't even read the Bible or have sermons or anything like that. No, that's nonsense. That's not what we mean. We're a church. According to Archbishop Camara, a great leader back in the day, we're an Anglican church. The 39 articles, it says the church is where the word of God is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly delivered. So you can't have a church where the Bible isn't there. Okay, but we want to make it accessible and make it understandable. Other people who argue with it are generally vicars, other ministers who don't want to get it and want to get into a theological debate about being a church for people who don't go to church. And simply Archbishop William Temple, great Archbishop, said this, that the church is the only organization on this planet that exists for those who don't yet belong. We worship Jesus, we witness for the world, to the world around us. That's what that means. We're a church and we witness to the world around us. So I think it's theologically very accurate, myself personally. And generally, people who aren't yet Christians get it. You know, like Natalie over there, she used to walk by one day, every day, and say, well, that church is for me because it says it's for me. So she came along and she stayed. She got it. It's written for people like that. So they get it. Come on in and get to know Jesus with us. Earlier this year, we reviewed and we refreshed our main values, drawing on what the Bible teaches and shaping things around our name, Christ Church Central Sheffield. So you can see it in the little drawing there. And we've come up with these phrases, come to Christ, which is biblical. And we're thinking about that this evening, related to the name Christ. Part of the word Christ in our name, Christ Church. We are a church, belong to his family. And thirdly, we're Christ Church Central Sheffield. This is the vicinity where we want to be loving our neighbours. Come, belong, love. It's organic, it's relational, it's real, it's not a strategy. It's not like, you know, do this, that, and the other. It's church. And church, we invite people to come to Jesus. And we belong to each other as his family, and we learn to love each other and we learn to love the world around us. I think it's got a real essence of Bible about it and something striking from our name as well. And it took quite a while to get there. You know, it took a lot of thinking, and it didn't, you know, we didn't come up this in the middle of the night, you know, it took prayer and thought, and I think it's good. Commend it to you. And during October, like I say, we're just going through these three main values. And today it is that first one, come to Christ. And our verse is this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That verse that we're thinking about a little bit earlier on. Our world and our lives are filled with a great number of very heavy burdens. And what do we expect God to do with the troubles that we carry? Some of the burdens that we have and the troubles are things that other people have laid on us by their mistakes, by their sins against us, by their failures, their mistreatment of us, their bullying of us even. Many of the burdens that we bear are because of our own mistakes, our own foolishness. What do we do with them? Well, here are four ways that generally in a Western culture we deal with our burdens. Number one, fatalism. We say to ourselves, that's just the way it is. Suck it up. It's the way that God ordained it. And actually, people from other religions we'll have a fatalism as well. You know, that's the way. God is sovereign. He's in charge. He's made it this way. Live with it. suck it up, as we'd say in English. Fatalism, cliche, you know, the useless comment, cheer up, things will get better. Or blame, it's someone else's fault, so get back at them, get even, or it's my own fault, as we say in English, I made my bed, now I have to sleep in it. So there's fatalism, cliche, blame, or life lessons. You know, we say, well, you've got to learn from it. Well, in one sense, that's true. We're always learning, aren't we? But it's a bit harsh, isn't it? When if that's the main thing to deal with, some of that. Seriously, the things on our hearts are really heavy and difficult. And if the answer is just learn from it, you go, seriously? Really? What does God, what does Jesus call us to do with these things? Well, seriously, none of the above. None of them. Jesus says, bring them to me. He says, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're going to look at each phrase of that sentence, three bits this evening. First of all, come to me. Bring your burdens to me. Jesus knows the burdens of the world, and Jesus knows your burdens right now. He knows what's in your heart right now, this evening. And he personally, and he kindly, and he compassionately, and he lovingly, graciously stoops down and says to you, bring it to me. He knows it, and he says, come to me with that. And isn't that not fantastic? Have you done that? You might have done it a while ago. You might have been living for Jesus and been a Christian, and then other burdens have come in and you've just forgotten to bring them to him. Or sometimes, seriously, we don't believe the invitation. Like I said earlier on, two bites of the cherry, little 3 minutes earlier on and now. Because we need God's Spirit to help us to believe this, to come to him with those things that are on our hearts. Well, what does hold us back? Maybe we doubt that Jesus has the ability or the power to help. Well, Jesus speaks right into that doubt in verse 27. Look at that verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See that? All things have been handed over to me by my Father. We get an insight here into God the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of them God, the three persons of God. And specifically into the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And God the Son says that God the Father has given all these things to me. So basically, Jesus has got absolutely supreme authority. They doubt that he can deal with them? Doubt no more. He has all the authority of God the Father. And Jesus is over everything concerning your soul. Other parts of the Bible, and Jesus refers to these things himself. You know, Jesus talks about himself being the door by which we enter. Him, the shepherd we follow, him, the healer of our sins, the bread of life on which we feed, the light that removes our darkness. We can and we must stop doubting Jesus and respond to him. When he says, come to me, we say, I'm coming. Where else would I go? Hell is heavy brick. Why do I want to keep doing that? When Jesus, bring it to me. Take it to him. What else stops us coming to Jesus? Well, I prayed about this just a moment ago. Pride. Pride. Plain and simple. You think, well, how do we figure out who comes to Jesus and who doesn't? Who gets to understand the gospel of Jesus and who doesn't get to understand the gospel of Jesus? Well, we don't really know, but some things are absolutely true. If you're proud, seriously, you're going to cut yourself out. If you're humble, Jesus is looking to help you. Verse 25, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Pride in our intellect and our academic ability, pride in our skills, pride in our wealth, or our own goodness, or our independence. Pride will stop us believing and coming to Jesus with our burdens. We've got to leave, got to cut our pride loose. Our pride will drown us. It will sink us. Cut it loose. And we've got to come with humility, like a child, admitting, I can't cope. You know, in most cultures around the world, we kind of like grow up as children, and there's this, we get educated, we get taught, you've got to grow up and take responsibility. You've got to be able to cope. You've got to be able to sort it. And, you know, and then we grow up and we become adults, and the expectation is you've got to have it sorted. And so we find it very difficult to become children again and say, help. You know, we're coached out of asking for help. We're coached out of saying, it's too heavy for me. Please, would you carry it for me? I mean, those with children, or, you know, I've got three grandchildren. And there's nothing you like more as a grandpa and stooping down and helping the little one. And they're so honest and open. I can't do this, you know. They want something from the kitchen and you're walking down the corridor. They instinctively reach up to hold your hand to go for the little walk with you. Come with me. I don't get it. Would you tell me? I can't carry it. Would you carry it for me? These are things that Jesus responds to with great kindness and great grace. He reveals himself and he responds by picking up and taking the burden from us. We're frightened of looking weak. We're frightened of coming across as failures. So yeah, lots of things there for us to be personally engaging with. But as a church, what does this mean for us as a church? Come to Christ. Well, I think it is about our daily habit as church members, walking with the Lord, our own discipleship. It's there at the heart of our Sunday gatherings. Come, it's what we're doing this evening. We're coming to Jesus together to worship him, praise him, to repent of our sins, to receive his forgiveness, to listen to his word, the Bible, to be filled again with his Holy Spirit, to live for him, to live for his glory day by day. And so next time someone says to you, are you coming to church? Respond by saying, yeah, I'm coming to Jesus with you. Because that's what we're doing. I'm coming to Jesus with you. Not coming to an event. Not coming to something religious. We're coming to our God and Father. We're coming to our God and Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Guide, our Lead, our Healer. And as a church, it's about our worship, but it's also about our witness, our evangelism, inviting others to come to Jesus too. We are not inviting people to join a religion. We're not inviting people to Christianity or to an event, like I've already said, or to a course, or even a church. These things are all important and are often ways that God brings himself to us, and we receive Jesus in different ways because of these things. But we are ultimately inviting people to Jesus himself. We're passing on the invitation to find rest and peace for our souls and for others to experience that and to know the hope of eternal life. And this is really important what I'm about to say now. So if you've drifted off in your mind, all right, you've gone to wherever, you know, whatever you're doing for the rest of the evening or tomorrow or whatever else, come back now, okay? Okay, got you. Some of you are laughing because you had gone somewhere. All right, listen to this, all right? Listen. If we are not coming to Jesus personally ourselves with childlike humility, then it's likely that when we invite someone else to come, we are likely potentially to come across as cold if we're not going to Jesus ourselves. We're likely to come across as impersonal. It'll sound like we're inviting them to a religion. We may even come across as arrogant, like we know better. But seriously, if we've come to Jesus as children to lift our burdens, and that's shaped our heart and our attitude when we go to somebody else, it's going to come across with authenticity, isn't it? Not because we want to come across as authentic. It's just that we know what Jesus has done for us. So we say to someone else, please, why don't you come as well? He's brilliant. He's wonderful. Listen to what he's done for me. We're not asking you a religious club or a set of rules. And I think our lives will be compelling. We'll find it so much easier not to fall into an argument, to try and win an argument. We'll find ourselves thinking, actually, this person needs to meet Jesus. Win the person, not the argument. All those things, I think, begin to get shaped by being a church which has a value, come to Christ. Personal and wonderful. Secondly, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. If you weren't in the middle of a Bible talk on this particular verse and I asked you, what on earth, if you're going to take to God anything at all, what kind of things would you think of taking to him? If you were invited to go to God and take something along with you, what on earth would you think of taking with you? Well, of course, now you're going to say my burdens. But if you weren't here now listening to the Bible talk, what would you have said? Your prayers? You know, your acts of devotion for him? You know, that is not Christianity. Those things actually are good, but they're not the first thing. The first thing that Jesus asks is not to bring those things which we think are admirable, or which we think he might think are admirable, or righteousness. We're not bringing our righteousness or our worthiness to him. Jesus invites us to bring those things that cause us to labor and are heavy laden on our hearts, our sorrows, our burdens, our guilt, shame, failure, sin, our troubles, our weariness, our stresses, our strains, our heartaches, our lostness, our regrets, our remorse, our fears. That's what he says, come to me with. Don't come as a sham, don't come as a pretense, come as you are. So it means to come as a child. And what does that mean for us as a church? Well, I, like many churches, and we're no different to any other church, we're the same as any other church. And so we will, like all churches do, we will sadly and wrongly give the impression that you have to be sorted to be a Christian. That's the fact, isn't it? That's the impression we often give. You know, we give the impression that we're sorted. So when we come together on a Sunday, we tend to fall into the situation of hiding our troubles or hiding our failures from each other, put on a show that we're okay. That, or we don't come because we feel we can't come because we got too many failures. Basically, it's the same thing. We're saying, to be a Christian, you've got to be sorted. So this is not Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. That's what it is to be a Christian, is to bring Jesus the rubbish. And to bring it to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. May we be a church where broken people come to Jesus for refuge, for help, for forgiveness and healing. And may we keep coming to Jesus so we humbly always know where we are. So that we're ready to welcome anybody with whatever issue they've got. We can sort of personify, as it were, amongst ourselves the body of Christ, the welcome of Christ. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we embody these things together as a church family. What else might it mean for us here in Christ Church Central, Sheffield? Well, there's that little phrase, all who labour. I think there's a special opportunity for us in the city centre. That is our calling. It's where we are. One of the challenges for us is the transient nature of people in the city centre. Students, internationals, folks who are asylum seekers. We've got plenty of those who come into our morning service. City centre workers. You know, people come and go. The turnover is quite high. But there's a great variety of people in and around any city in England. A great number of people from all over the world. And that's where our opportunities are, is to embody in the city centre, the invitation of Jesus to all sorts of people with all sorts of heavy burdens. Because there's such a variety of people, there's a vast variety of burdened hearts in all sorts of ways. And Sheffield is a city of refuge. And here we are in the city centre to share the invitation of Jesus. Come to me, all, everyone, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you believe at the moment, come to Jesus, all who labour and are heavy laden. And number three, I will give you rest. Or as Jesus puts it in verse 29, you'll find rest for your souls. It's not earned, it's not won, it's not deserved, it's not gained, it's given, it's received. Given by Jesus and received by us. And the rest that Jesus is talking about, he defines in verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. That's the kind of rest that he's talking about, is to take his yoke upon ourselves. And the assumption that Jesus makes here, a yoke is a wooden collar, so a double collar that goes over two animals, so that they can bear a load, or two oxen can pull a weight together, plow together, or pull a cart together. And the assumption that Jesus makes is this, is that every single one of us is actually already yoked to something, to somebody, to a philosophy, to something that is burdening us. And Jesus is saying here, unhook that burden, unhook yourself from it, and then come in and get yoked with me. Take my burden, take my yoke upon yourself. Give up that philosophy, religion, relationship, dream, ambition, that burden. And Jesus says, take that off, take on me instead. Learn from me. And the rest that Jesus offers, I mean, it really is just, it's a wonderful thing. It's profound. It is to say, you know, to walk through life with Jesus, to walk the same pace as Jesus, the same rhythm, Jesus bearing our burdens with us, Jesus pulling the stuff of life with us, Jesus guiding us and leading us all the way. Here's a quote from a bishop from over 100 years ago, Bishop J.C. Ryle. A little bit of quaint language, I want to get to the final sentence, actually, because I think it's wonderful the way he puts it. This is what he says about this verse. No doubt there is a cross to carry if we follow Jesus Christ. No doubt there are trials to be endured and battles to be fought. But the comforts of the gospel, the comforts of Jesus, that is, far outweigh the cross. Compared to the service of the world, and compared to the yoke of religion and the bondage of human superstition, Christ's service is in the highest sense easy and light. And this is what he says. His yoke is no more burden than the feathers are to a bird. Isn't that brilliant? How heavy and what kind of a burden are feathers to a bird? Now, feathers lift the bird. And J.C. Ryle says, now that's what Jesus' yoke is for us. He leads us to begin to walk with him in freedom and joy. His yoke is no more burden than the feathers of a bird. We are not inviting people to religion. We are not inviting people to church. We're not inviting people to an event. We're inviting people to Jesus, the Son of God, who lifts burdens, who heals, who forgives sin, who leads us into eternity, who has the great power, of all of God's power, to give us strength to live in ways that please God. So have you accepted the invitation to come to Jesus? If you have not yet done that, then do it this evening. And if you want to pray about that or talk about that more, then have a word with Fee, have a word with Chris, who helped me carry the brick earlier on, have a word with me, or Fee, or Chris. And maybe actually you've been a Christian and your life, as I said earlier on, has got burdened again. And maybe things have just got cluttered in your heart and your life, and you don't know whether you quite believe whether you can come back. You can. Jesus' invitation is for you. Maybe you are guilty. Maybe you have sinned. Maybe you have gone in wrong in some way, which really is very heavy on your heart. Bring it to Jesus in genuine repentance. Give it to him. And tonight, just pray for God's Holy Spirit to fill you again with that sense of forgiveness and freedom and joy. Begin to walk with him again with a new lightness in your heart and in your spirit. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it, to be able to do that tonight? And let's pray that we as a church family are a church family, a church which keeps inviting other people to come to him. And let's pray that, you know, as we've come to him, let's pray that we keep on coming to him. And that we kind of like vow in our own hearts that he is so wonderful. He is so good. Why would I want to go anywhere else? That we choose to cling to him more than ever, to walk in his ways and to know his grace and his kindness for us. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to sing our final song. God, our Father, each of us this evening are in different places in our own personal journeys with you. Wherever we are, I pray now for your Holy Spirit to minister Jesus' words, come to me. And help us, Lord, each of us, to be able to bring our own burdens to you. To leave them with you. To know your forgiveness, your love, your cleansing, your renewal. And Lord, this evening we choose to take on your yoke. We set our hearts to live your ways, to follow you, knowing that all of your strength will be with us, that you'll care for us, you'll walk with us, you'll walk at our pace, you'll lead us on. Thank you for being willing to do that. Help us to trust you. And help us as a church to be real and genuine with a wonderful heartfelt welcome and invitation to those around us to come to you as well and to find the precious things that we know to be true and that we've experienced ourselves. And we pray it in your wonderful name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song, Come Ye Sinners. And as you...